You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later in the program, we'll look at why new office construction isn't bouncing back during the economic recovery and what that says about our economy and the way Americans use office space today.
First, lots of news in the healthcare front today. In a press conference this morning, President Obama announced plans to allow insurance companies to continue offering health plans that had previously been canceled under the Affordable Care Act.
And Governor Walker addressed the media today about his healthcare agenda, just a day after it was announced that only about 900 Wisconsin residents had signed up through the federal exchanges.
Joining us now to make sense of all this is Ed Miller, a professor of political science at UW-Stevens Point. Ed, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with President Obama's announcement that he'll encourage insurance companies for the time being to continue selling plans that were supposed to have been canceled. Now, is this going to help contain some of the damage to the White House?
Well, it may. I mean, there was some political opposition that was emerging in the Congress. There were a couple bills. The main bills one is by Fred Upton, which they may still vote on in the House. He's a Republican in Michigan, which would allow insurers to continue this to sell these policies. The Obama announcement would not. So, in other words, if you have a policy that is a substandard policy that is below the Affordable Care Act requirement, you could keep it for 1 year. But under the Upton bill, they could continue to sell these policies. And that's one of the major differences.
Now, President Obama, in speaking today, he was sort of owning up, taking responsibility for some of the difficulties with the rollout. He sort of said in so many words, we bungled it, and used the phrase, I think we're going to keep chipping away at the problems. I don't know if you're listening there and you're seeing these difficulties, people having signing up, the low amount, the low numbers of people signing up. Did what he said reassure you?
Well, I mean, whether he reassures me, I do know that they're working on it, obviously. I mean, there's been so much talked about it. The problem, one of the problems of signing up has not been the concept of exchanges, because we've had exchanges before. I mean, Massachusetts is only one, but we've had other states that have used a similar kind of exchange. It's just technologically to do it through the website. Posed a problem because of seems like a lower idea, but simply problems of coding. And as a result, the website doesn't work very well. But according to what I've read, the website is working better than it had. But they say by the end of November, it's supposed to be so-called fixed. I doubt that it'll be fixed, but it will work better and more people will sign up. The other thing is you could sign up in other ways, but anytime there's this kind of rollout, whether it's this or it's the drug benefit when that took place, or in Massachusetts when they started with the exchanges, there's always a much smaller number than anticipated at first doing it. People tend to delay doing it. So, I mean, one is the technological thing of the website. The other part is simply people delay.
Okay, so that was a big part of what we heard yesterday, that there was just a fraction of the people expected and that the White House had projected to sign up for actually did sign up or were able to sign up. So are you saying that maybe that would have been par for the course even if the website was working as it should?
Right, I would say. Their numbers were about 106,000 people signed up through the federal and the state exchanges. They had anticipated 500,000, so it's a much smaller number, but I think the exchange is not working did inhibit some people. So it would have been a higher figure, but it's still, I doubt that it would have been the 500,000 that some people thought.
So why did the White House, put that projected number out there? Should they have lowballed it and made themselves look better?
They probably should have put a lower number out there. They were basing it upon the number of individuals who qualified for the exchange. Based upon their estimation. And, in Wisconsin, for example, for those who qualify for the market exchange, it is almost 500,000 just in Wisconsin. The Kaiser Family Foundation estimates 482,000 just in Wisconsin qualify for the exchange, of which about 301,000 qualify for tax credits if they purchase their health insurance on the exchange. So, you know, given that Wisconsin is almost 500,000, nationally 500,000 is nothing.
Now, you were describing the website failure as a failure of coding, and that once that was up and running, you know, maybe people will be signing up. Maybe they've been postponing it, but there has been a political price to pay for the Obama administration. How big of a hit is this, do you think?
Oh, I think it's a problem. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, there's a political price in terms of the fact is that, you know, people are more skeptical of how this works, you know, or will it work kind of thing. However, it hasn't moved the figure at all in terms of those who, you know, support the act itself. So that really hasn't changed. Recent study, recent figures show that only about a third of the people polled believe either it should be either the law should be replaced or totally repealed. Only about a third. And if you look into that third, only about 25% of the people want it totally repealed. So still there's an overwhelming support for the concept of the Affordable Care Act. Actually, about 25%, about a quarter of the people want it expanded when you look at the public opinion data.
So you think that the fact that it didn't roll out all shiny and perfectly working is not going to make the law more vulnerable? You've got Speaker Boehner saying, throw it out. It doesn't work. It's never going to work. Let's just call the whole thing off. Does it make the law vulnerable, or is this just some bumps in the road?
I think it's bumps in the road. I don't think it makes the law vulnerable. I think what could make the law vulnerable is, of course, we don't know. I mean, you know, they've estimated it, but is how well this comes out in terms of this is all private insurance companies. This is not the government running this. I mean, in terms of the insurance. And so how well this, you know, people who are younger people, and that's why they were concerned about younger people, that younger people who have less health needs sign up for these individual policies so that actuarially they will be able, the insurance companies will be able to make money on selling this insurance. Because this being, you know, these are all private insurance. So I think not working to me would say that, look, they've got tremendous health expenses to pay out and they're not getting enough in premium.
Now, Republicans and Democrats have been frustrated. Republicans, I guess, now are calling the Democratic senators up for re-election in 2014, the Obamacare dozen, suggesting that they will be targeted expressly through that, and maybe they'll be more vulnerable. Do you think that within his own party, Obama is in trouble?
No, I don't think these are people in trouble. I mean, based upon that, for the simple reason is that, as I mentioned, there's such a small percentage of people that are actually against the act itself. That's first. And lots of people have benefits. There's a lot of benefits that have already occurred from the act. It's not just this. People under 26 can stay on their, you know, parents' plan. Pre-existing conditions for kids are already cannot be denied. And for adults in 2014, Medicare tremendously expanded in terms of preventative care. So all of these are essentially approved by the people. People like these things. So when you go down to the individual benefits, they like them. And the second thing is 2014 is sometime off. And so I think that all this will be working much better, at least hopefully, by 2014.
Well, meanwhile, let's flip over here to Wisconsin. Just a few hours ago, Governor Walker announced that he's pushing back his plans to shift thousands off Badger Care by 3 months, looking at healthcare.gov's failures based on that. So what do we know so far about the details of that plan?
That's a problem. Because what he's doing is, although, you know, people, there was about 77,500 was the estimate of people who will be eliminated from the Badger Care program. Those individuals those individuals will have to go into the exchanges. Those are the individuals who can, as you just mentioned, stay on Badger Care for a few more months. That isn't the problem. The main problem is that there's 80,000 people who would normally have gone on Badger Care. These typically are adults without children who would go on Badger Care because they're under the federal poverty line based upon what was passed by the legislature, those 80,000 now will not be allowed to go on Badger Care, because of the fact is that that's where he's getting the money to support the others. In fact, is if he allowed those 80,000 to go on to Badger Care, then those 80,000 to go on the Badger Care, then 100% of their cost would be picked up by the federal government, interestingly enough. So then the question is, what happens to these 80,000? Well, these 80,000 people cannot participate in the exchanges because they're under the federal poverty line, and the way the law was designed, you can only participate in the exchanges to get a credit. In other words, you can get some coverage by the federal government in terms of finance. This is the subsidy if you're over the federal poverty line. So they're sort of in no man's land.
Well, right now we're talking with UW Stevens Point political scientist Ed Miller about the latest health care news, and we want to hear from you. President Obama spoke today, talked about extending the options for a few months for some people with their existing plans, and we're hearing about new changes here in Wisconsin as well. Let us know what you think.
Do you think these steps from President Obama and Governor Walker are going in the right direction? What would you like to see happen at either the federal level or the state level? Or do you have questions about the latest news on the Affordable Care Act? You can give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can always email us, talk@WPR.org, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll take your calls coming up after the news. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with UW Stevens Point political scientist Ed Miller, talking about tweaks being made to health care in Wisconsin and at the federal level. Both President Obama and Scott Walker spoke on some changes that they're making today. You could join in, 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. What do you think about the rocky rollout of the Affordable Care Act? Do you think it's just a short-term hitch or a long-term problem? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we will go back to the phones now as we talk to Ed Miller. The first, our caller is John from Windsor. Hi, John. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thanks. Well, I think that this is a very unfortunate for the state of Wisconsin. We were working towards a really good exchange in the state of Wisconsin, and when Governor Walker was elected, unfortunately, he took the partisan position, and he still does, that he wants Obama to not succeed. He stopped the work on that. And if you take a look, the states that are being successful are the ones that are running local exchanges. I think the Obama administration made a mistake by extending the time limit in which states had to make a decision about whether they wanted to join the exchange or not. That gave them one month less to actually work on developing an exchange when they knew those states were not going to go in. And as far as the Medicaid stuff, this is a big political thing. Walker is cutting people off of Medicaid, and he's trying to blame the president for that. And I wonder what the professor has to say.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, John. And what do you think, a tactical error there?
Well, yeah, what John says is correct, that the state exchanges seem to be working better than the federal exchange. And Wisconsin had a head start. We were supposed to be a demonstration state, and we'd received some early grants and we had progressed in developing the state exchange. And then we pulled out of it, and we had to pay the money back. But anyway, the state exchanges are working better. One of the problems with some of the state exchanges, they're having some connectivity problem because they have to check, you know, whether somebody's actually qualified for the you know, the federal subsidy. And so it's got to check with the IRS, and so there's got to be some code of conductivity there of the software. But yes, we would have done better with their own state exchanges, quite clearly.
I mean, that makes sense in the rearview mirror, but going in, had Wisconsin or any other state reason to believe that the system would be this problematic?
Right. Wisconsin, we would have known that this was problematic, but we were sort of ahead of the curve in developing the exchange. So we would have had an exchange. But no, you're right. We wouldn't have known that the federal one. But the advantage of having the state exchange was that we could also determine other kinds of conditions. For example, there are some minimum requirements that insurance policies must cover, and some of the states have determined other things that must be covered. Some states have decided that allowing insurance companies to charge more for smoking, which they're allowed to under the ACA, they didn't want to do that to penalize these individuals on their state exchanges. I mean, whether we should have done it or not is another question, but we didn't have that as an option. But states had options, but if you go to the federal exchange, you don't have the options.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, John. And let's go next to Don in Norwalk. Hi, Don.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Say, my question is just, I'm a little confused. The 90,000 or so people that are supposed to be dropped off of Badger Care, I thought that the federal structure was supposed to make it easier for uninsured people, you know, people in the poverty level and stuff who don't have, never had insurance, to get covered. So why wouldn't the ex-Badger Care people be able to be covered by the federal plan?
Well, the individuals who were thrown off who will be thrown off now they've been extended, the state exchange, not state exchange, excuse me, the Badger Care, they will be able to be covered under. Now this is not the new people who are not covered. This is the other people that he's keeping on for a while. They would be able to go in the exchange and buy insurance. The problems with that are, one is that they may not be able to afford it. Some may have enough subsidy that cover virtually their entire cost. But there's other people who will not have enough of a subsidy, and they will have difficulty even buying a policy on the exchange because of simply financial circumstances. The other thing is that some of the benefits that they have on Badger Care, they will not have on buying the individual policy on the exchange, and most notably dental care. So dental care is not included except for children as a federal required benefit. And so under Badger Care, they do have the dental benefit, but they will not have the dental benefit from virtually every policy that they buy, unless the policy decides to include it. But there's no federal requirement that they do. The other people, these are individuals without children. Those individuals would be below the poverty line, because Wisconsin did cover up to twice the poverty line. Now we're only covering up to the poverty line. And so these individuals who are under the poverty line, who would normally be covered by Badger Care, being added to Badger Care, now will not be able to be covered.
These are people without dependents, right?
Exactly. These are people without dependents. And some were covered and some were waiting to be covered because we had a waiting list to get on Badger Care for these individuals. So some of them haven't been covered. But they will not be able to participate in the exchanges because they're under the poverty line.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Don. And Donna, let's go to you and one more quick call from Prairie du Chien. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm a 53-year-old mother of 15-year-old twins. I've been living on $104.20 a week for a year and a half. I've filed for Social Security. I don't know if I will get it, but I am one of those people that are going to be in that said crack loophole. And as of April, I won't even know if I will have a place to live. I I don't know what am I supposed to do. I wouldn't even be able to afford the new insurance that's come out. You know, I can't work. What do we do?
Well, Don, I wish you all the best. And do you have any advice for her?
Sorry to hear that. I mean, you will be able to stay because you have children. You will be able to stay on the Badger Care. I mean, assuming he's calling a special session in the legislature
until April.
Right until April. But after that, you would have to go into the exchanges and see if you can buy a policy that would fit your needs. Now, the lower the income, as long as you're over the poverty line. And I wasn't sure about that. But as long as you're over the poverty line and you can go into the exchanges, based upon a very low income, you will receive greater federal government subsidies. Whether that's enough, I can't tell you. And that's one of the problems of doing this. For some of these people, there's not going to be enough of a subsidy that they can afford the policy.
All right. Well, thanks, Donna, and good luck to you. And our last question here, you know, we're about a year out from a gubernatorial election here in Wisconsin. Is health care going to be a big factor in that election?
I think it will be a factor. And I think the one of the biggest factors is not taking the federal government's 100% coverage of the citizens of Wisconsin. And, why wouldn't we take the 100%? When the federal government's paying everything, when normally under Medicaid in Wisconsin, the federal government picks up 58%. And I think that will be an issue in the election.
All right. Well, Ed, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Ed Miller is a professor of political science at UW Stevens Point.
Coming up next, we'll try and answer the question, has America reached peak office? Our guest says office construction used to be a sign of economic recovery, but the old rules may not apply anymore.
You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.